I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I will be doing a solo episode as the super millennial is still out, not feeling really well. This week, our topic has been prosperity, and on Stress Mastery Week in addition, host Mark Middlestead kicked it off with, does prosperity serve your purpose? On Monday with the Super Millennial, David talked on envy, the enemy of prosperity, and this week's Health Huddles, we did part one of optimal health, creating a state of well-being. Part two will come next week. In Meeting the Minds, we talked on the anger energy, prosperity and the anger energy. And yesterday's Connection Thursday, we talked on the role of the teacher. Today, we will continue our book study, The Book of Joy by the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. So we are now in the pillars of joy, and we're on pillar number three in the book. Humor. Laughter, joking is much better. One of the most stunning aspects of the week was how much of it was spent laughing. At times, the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop seem to be as much a comedy duo as two venerable spiritual leaders. It is their ability to joke, laugh, and poke fun at ordinary pieties that so righteously violates expectation. When a Dalai Lama and an Archbishop walk into a bar, you don't expect them to be the ones cracking the jokes. Having worked with many spiritual leaders, I'm tempted to see laughter and a sense of humor as a universal index of spiritual development. The Archbishop and the Dalai Lama were certainly at the top of that index. They skewered humbug, status, injustice, and evil, all with the power of humor. They and everyone around them were constantly gawking, chortling, giggling, and belly laughing throughout the week as moments of great levity were spliced together with moments of profundity and sanctity. So often, their first response to any subject, no matter how seemingly painful, was to laugh. It was clear that humor was essential to their joyful way of being. But why was laughter so central? I worked with a Mexican shaman once, I said, introducing the topic. He said that laughing and crying are the same. Laughing just feels better. And the Archbishop was just saying, Your Holiness, that you laugh at something that could ordinarily be a source of anguish. That's right. That's right. Can you tell us about the role of laughter and humor in the cultivation of joy? It is much better when there is not too much seriousness, the Dalai Lama responded. Laughter, joking is much better. Then we can completely relax. I met some scientists in Japan, and they explained the wholehearted laughter, not artificial laughter, is very good for your heart and your health in general. When he said artificial laughter, he pretended to smile and forced a chuckle. He was making a connection between wholehearted laughter and a warm heart, which he had already said was the key to happiness. Humor, like humility, comes from the same root of for humanity and humus. I think the scientists are right, the Dalai Lama concluded. People who are always laughing have a sense of abandon and ease. They are less likely to have a heart attack. And those people who are really serious and who have difficulty connecting with other people, those serious people are in real danger. We found at home, the Archbishop added, gazing down thoughtfully, remembering those painful times. When we conducted funerals of people who had been killed by the police, we would have hundreds and hundreds of people attending the funerals. It was a state of emergency. You were not allowed any other gatherings. So the funerals turned into political rallies. We found that one of the best ways of helping our people direct their energies in positive direction was laughter. Telling jokes, even at our expense, was such a wonderful flip to our morale. People were really angry, and you'd have the police standing not far away, and it was an explosive situation. Anything could have gone wrong. My weaponry, if you can call it that, was almost always to use humor, and especially self-denigrating humor where you are laughing at yourself. We came to a township just outside of Johannesburg where the apartheid forces had provided weapons to one group, and they had killed quite a number of people. We were having a meeting of bishops close by, and I was part of those leading the funeral of the victims to that massacre. The people were obviously extremely angry, and I remembered a story that had been told about how at the beginning of creation, God molded us out of clay and then put us into a kiln, like you do with bricks. God put one lot in and then got busy with other things and forgot about those he had put into the kiln. And after a while, he remembered and rushed to the kiln, where the whole lot was burned to cinders. They say this is how we Black people came about. Everyone laughed a little. And then I said, next, God put in a second lot. And this time he was overanxious and opened the oven too quickly. And the second lot that came out was undone. And that's how white people came about. We tend to want to blow ourselves up, inflate ourselves, because most of us have tended to have poor self-image. When you're in a situation such as the one in South Africa where you were discriminated against, it was very easy to lose your sense of self. And humor seems to do something for people. Humor certainly did one good thing. It deflated, diffused a particularly tense situation. The Archbishop had visited Rwanda shortly after the genocide and was asked to give a talk to the Hutus and the Tutus. How does one talk about a wound that is so fresh in the soul of people? The Archbishop's solution, as it often is, was to speak truth to power through humor. He began telling a story about the big-nosed people and the small-nosed people and how the big-nosed people were excluding the small-nosed people. The people in the audience were laughing. And as they were laughing, they suddenly realized what he was talking about, the ridiculousness of prejudice and hatred, whether in his country or theirs. Humor was, as he said, a very powerful weapon. Dalai Lama visited Belfast in Northern Ireland after the Troubles. He was invited to attend a private meeting where victims and perpetrators of violence were present. The atmosphere was very tense, as the suffering was practically palpable in the air. As the meeting began, a former Protestant militant spoke of how, when he was growing up, he was told by other loyalists that what they did in opposition to the Catholics was justified because Jesus was a Protestant and not a Catholic. Knowing that Jesus was, of course, a Jew, the Dalai Lama laughed so hard that he completely changed the atmosphere. Able to laugh at the absurdity of our prejudices and our hatreds, everyone was able to communicate more honestly and compassionately with each other. When we learn to take ourselves slightly less seriously, the Archbishop continued, then it is a very great help. We can see the ridiculous in us. The Archbishop, I said, humor can also be very cruel. But your humor, as I've seen over the years, is about bringing us together and not about separating us and putting anyone down, except maybe the Dalai Lama. But most of the time, it's about uniting. Can you tell us a little bit about the ways in which humor can bring us together and show us our shared ridiculousness? Well, yes. If you are longing to bring people together, you're not going to do so by being acerbic. You know, it's so good to see the ridiculous in us all. Really, I think we then get to see our common humanity in many ways. Ultimately, I think it's about being able to laugh at yourself and being able not to take yourself so seriously. It's not about the belittling humor that puts others down and yourself up. It's about bringing people out into a common ground. If you can manage to downgrade yourself, if you are able to laugh at yourself and get others to laugh at you without feeling guilty that they are laughing at you, the humor that doesn't demean is an invitation to everyone to join in the laughter. Even if they're laughing at you, they're joining you in a laughter that feels wholesome. When you and the Dalai Lama tease each other, I added, it does not feel demeaning at all. Yes, the Dalai Lama and I tease each other, but it is a statement of trust in the relationship. It is an indication that there's enough of a reservoir of goodwill that you're really saying, I trust you. And you trust me that I know you will not undermine me or be offended by me. I'm just thinking that we're so very apt to belittle because we are also so unsure of ourselves that we think the best way of asserting who we are is by putting you down. Whereas this kind of humor says, come stand next to me and let's laugh at me together. Then we can laugh at you together. Does not belittle either of us, but uplifts us, allows us to recognize and laugh about our shared humanity, about our shared vulnerabilities, our shared frailties. Life is hard, you know, and laughter is how we come to terms with all the ironies and cruelties and uncertainties that we face. Scientific research on humor is rather limited, but it does seem that there is an evolutionary role for laughter and humor in managing the anxiety and stress of the unknown. Jokes are funny precisely because they break our expectations and help us to accept the unexpected. The Archbishop and Dalai Lama are masters of using humor to connect and join others when meeting others. Perhaps that is one of the reasons that their time together was so filled with laughter. For all the joy they felt being together, it was unprecedented and no doubt uncertain experience to meet for a week together in Dharmasala. What do you say to people, I asked the Archbishop, who say they are not funny or that they do not have a good sense of humor? I reckon there are many people who think they have to be somber because it gives them gravitas and they feel they are more likely to be respected if they are serious. But I believe very fervently that one of the ways of getting into the hearts of people is the capacity of making them laugh. If you are able to laugh at yourself, then everyone knows you're not pompous. I don't think I woke up and presto, I was funny. I think it was something that you can cultivate. Like anything else, it is a skill. Yes, it does help to have the inclination, especially if you can laugh at yourself. So learn to laugh at yourself. It's really the easiest place to begin. It's about humility. Laugh at yourself and don't be so pompous and serious. If you start looking for humor in life, you will find it. You will stop asking, why me? And start recognizing that life happens to all of us. It makes everything easier, including your ability to accept others and accept all that life will bring. And that ends this particular section. So I think this is a powerful thing that we take life so seriously. We argue about politics. We argue about the pandemic. We argue about religion. We argue about gender. We argue about everything. Race. We argue about class. We argue. It's crazy. And sometimes we have to step back a little bit and just laugh. Now, what's very important that they're saying in here, though, is self-denigrating humor, when you're laughing at yourself, has to be coming from the heart, not the head. If you are putting yourself down, self-denigrating, you say, well, I'm not good at this, or I'm not this, or I'm too old to do this, or I'm do that. You have to make sure it's not the ego creating that humor, because the ego will create that and puts you in a state of red zone energy, a state of restriction. But when you're using humor to laugh at yourself, I do it all the time. I think I'm one of the most ridiculous people you're ever going to meet. Who the hell gets up at 3 o'clock every freaking morning? It's an idiot that gets up at 3 o'clock every morning when you could sleep in a nice comfy bed. Also, like even reading, you could see I'm not a great reader and I'm not a great, you know, podcaster. I remember when we first started the podcasting, we just told everybody the truth. We were doing it out of a closet because we didn't know how to get the sound right. And we were, it was like David would stand behind me with the computer and we're in a closet using the clothes to make sure that we get the sound right. And we talked about it because it's the most ridiculous sight. I can't imagine what Linda would see us two clowns, two big guys trying to fit in this little closet to do a show because we just didn't know what we were doing. But instead of acting like we were experts, instead, we laughed at it ourselves because it actually is very funny. So one of the things that it says in here, when we learn to take ourselves less seriously, the Archbishop said, then it is a very great help. We can see the ridiculous in us. We get so serious in our defense of our perception. I honestly don't believe when you're connected to heart, you take life so seriously. I think when you're connected to heart, humor is natural. Like these two gentlemen are connected to heart. Obviously, they're very spiritual, which means they're in the creation mind. They're not in the cage mind. When you're connected to heart, you don't take things too seriously because you're not stuck in perception. See, we get stuck in our defend and attack. We get this stuck and we get stuck in our problems. We get stuck in stories. And when that happens, we lose our humor. We think life is so hard. We hear it all the time. It's so hard to eat right. It's so hard to get up in the morning. It's so hard to exercise. It's so hard to do personal development. And these are stories. And these are stories that keep you stuck in procrastination and fear. But what happens if you let the story fall and you move into heart? And you kind of laugh at yourself. And I think it's very, very important. Another part here, he says, ultimately, I think being able to laugh at yourself and being able to not take yourself so seriously, it's not about belittling humor that puts others down and yourself up. It's about bringing people onto a common ground. This is why people love comedians. Comedians go on stage and they take social issues that are flammable, that are really can cause an explosion, and they make us see how ridiculous we really are in our belief systems. And it makes us laugh. And when we laugh, we find freedom. And when we find freedom, we can connect to creativity. And when we connect to creativity, we can find presence. And there is where we find our true self. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.